Take your Bible and go to 2 Timothy chapter 2, and we're going to dive back into our study of the book of 2 Timothy. And the text that we're in is really all about communication. So we're just going to kind of focus here in January on communicating effectively in our everyday relationships. That's what this text is about. And so we're going to hopefully learn a lot and grow a lot and apply what we're learning. If you've got your handout, I want to reiterate a statement, and there's a blank for you to fill in, I believe, at the top of your handout that I said last week. I'm going to reiterate this over and over again because I really want, in our materialistic society that we live in today, we have to be reminded of this over and over. And here it is. You ready? Look at the top of your handout. It says there that the quality of our relationships will determine the quality of our lives. And that's a very simple statement, but a very true statement, is that you can have a nice car, a good job, a nice house, lots of nice clothes, lots of nice furniture, a boat to take out on the lake. You can have all these great things, and still life can be miserable if your key relationships in your life are deteriorating around you. If your relationships aren't good at home, they're not good at work, then life's not going to be enjoyable. So, therefore, we simply need to realize that, and we need to invest more in trying to, you know, have good, quality, Christ-honoring relationship. We got to put more into it, you know? And the absolute key to relationships is good communication skills. It doesn't matter if we're talking about relationships at home, marriage, single, work, church, neighborhood, ball team. Doesn't matter what we're talking about. Relationships are really only going to be as good as our communication skills. This issue of communication, church, listen to me now. I'm trying to help us here. This issue of communication can literally make or break any relationship. Words are very powerful. The Bible says that, in fact, look in your handout. I've got the verse there. It's Proverbs 18:21. Look at that statement. Death and life are in the power of the what? You can either breathe life into your marriage or kill your marriage with your words. You can either breathe life into your relationships with, say, your kids or coworkers, or you can destroy your relationships through your words. The Bible says death and life's in the power of the tongue. Look at the next verse, Proverbs 18:7. Notice how you can literally destroy your life by not controlling your mouth, your tongue. Look at it. It says a fool's mouth is his destruction, and his lips are the snare of his soul. So you can literally destroy your life with this issue of communication. And of course, if you destroy your life, then you're probably going to take down a lot of other people with you when you go down. So there's no better place to learn about communication than the Bible. Y'all believe that? Amen? No better place to learn about communication than the Bible. This text is, of course, one of many texts in the Bible that's about communication. This verse, 14, 15, 16, 17, here in 2 Timothy 2 are about communication. It's about bad communication skills, and then it gives you the basis of good communication skills. Look with me at verse number 14, all right? Let's look at it. We covered this last week. Notice our first point last week had to do about it. Remember, if you were here last week, you know that our message had to do with avoiding words that lead to arguments. You know, we argue about silly things. We argue about ridiculous things. We make issues over stuff that at the end of the day really don't matter, you know, or we pick at each other over just stupid stuff that at the end of the day doesn't really matter. And we destroy key relationships in our lives because we argue over senseless things, things that don't matter. And that's what verse 14 says. Look at it. It says, of these things, put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord that they strive not. That word strive means to argue. He says that they strive not about words to no profit, words that they're not going to help the relationship at all. He says, but to the subverting. Remember that word subverting means catastrophe? He says it leads to the subverting of those having to listen to you. So when you start picking arguments and picking fights, picking at your spouse, picking at people, then he says that's going to lead to catastrophe, subverting, in the relationships of your life. Now, that brings us to verse 15. Let's look at that one. He says, study, talking about the Bible, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed. Notice he says, rightly dividing the word of truth. The Bible's called the word of truth. So what's that all about? Study the Bible, he says. So now look up here. In the context of this text, all about communication, he says in the middle of it, you know what? You need to be studying the Bible. And so why would he say that in a text that's all about communication? Well, really, that verse is about communication too. He talks about the word of truth. So in your handout, I want you to get a second principle. You ready? Here it is. How can we improve our communication skills? Here we go. Ready? Number two, filter your words through God's word. We are very familiar with the concept of filters, aren't we? We have water filters that we run our water through so that we have clean water. We have coffee filters. Amen. Praise the Lord. Coffee filters. We run the water through the filter so the grounds don't get in the coffee. So we have a filter. We have air filters in our house so all the dust doesn't come through and get into our house. So we're very conscious of the concept of filters. Well, what I want to talk about is literally having the Bible be a filter that your words go through. And so before they actually reach that person, they have been filtered through the Bible. So get that picture of your words being filtered through God's word. And you say, well, how do I do that? What does that mean? We're going to talk about that today. But what I want you to notice is this. He says in verse 15, study the Bible, right? You need to be studying it. But then look at verse 16. He says, but, which connects it to the previous verse, right? That's a connecting word there, but shun, so he's going to give you the opposite, shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. So, wow, he says, study the Bible, but he says, shun just empty, meaningless words that are going to hurt people. So our focus today is this. He says, rightly dividing the word of truth. Tells you how to study it. That's not going to be our focus today. We're going to go back to that. We're going to spend some time probably in February talking about how to figure this book out, how to rightly divide it and figure it out and get the right answers. That's not going to be our focus today. Our focus today is going to be on this simple thing. And this is our takeaway. I want you to simply notice that we are encouraged to study the Bible. And that he says that in the context of talking about communication. Some churches encourage you not to study your Bible. Yeah, they do. I've had people tell me this. They've been part of a denomination where they don't want people to study the Bible. They'd rather them just listen to the leader of the church and not, you know, and just trust what he said. Well, that's not good. That's cultic, right? That's not good. The Bible says that you should be studying the Bible for yourself. And the Bible, hey, you ready? The Bible is not meant to be a table decoration. Did you know that? The Bible is like to be studied. In fact, there's a statement that I saw years ago. I never forgot it, and it's in your handout. I want to give it to you. Ready? It says, the Bible is meant to be daily bread, not cake for special occasions. Isn't that great? You do not, listen. You don't eat cake every day, right? I mean, some of you are like, well, I try to, amen. All right, you don't eat birthday cake every day, right? And birthday cake's for special occasions. Well, the Bible isn't meant to be like birthday cake, right? Well, I'll read it if I really, you know, got some time, or maybe once a month. No, it's meant to be daily bread. It's kind of like this. How many of you have a cell phone? Raise your hand if you have a cell phone. Don't lie in church. This is church, all right? Don't think you can get away with it because we're in the gym. This is church, all right? All right, so most of you in here have a cell phone, and now I want you to be honest with me again. How many of you, your phone is used more like daily bread than cake for special occasions? Use your phone every day. Right. Here's the deal. You use your phone more like daily bread, don't you? You use your phone maybe to surf the internet. My wife will use it to look up recipes. You know, she likes to look up cooking recipes on it and things like that. Or you look on your phone to catch the news or to catch the scores. Or you look on there for your social media to be able to talk to people and to connect with people on social media. You use your phone more like daily bread. But my question is, what about the Bible? What about the Bible? I mean, God's Word is much more important, and the Bible is much more life-giving than anything that you would read on your phone. Amen? Unless you're reading the Bible on your phone. And some of you do that, and that's great. But, you know, the God's Word is so much more important than anything that you would read on your phone. God says, study it. Study it. You know, you say, well, but I use my phone for communication. Well, what's more important, communicating with people or communicating with God? You see, the Bible is meant to be like your phone. You know, never get far away from it. You know, some people, they don't get far away from their phone, right? In fact, I think some people, it's glued to their hand. What do you think, huh? They've just glued it on there. You know, it's always there. It's waterproof, so they just glued it to their hand, right? They can take a shower with it and everything, right? And there are people that never get far away from their phone. And I think probably most of us with a cell phone, that's probably true, right? We don't get far away from our phone. It's in our pocket. It's in our hip pocket. It's in your purse. You don't get far away from your phone. Well, that's the idea when he says study the Bible, is that you don't get far away from the Bible in your daily life. It's important for your communication skills that you never get far away from the Bible. You know, For years I had a habit where I kept a little New Testament. This is Matthew through Revelation, and then it's got the book of Psalms also in it, and it's a little pocket-sized New Testament. You can get these very cheap online, Amazon, wherever. You get a little pocket-sized New Testament. Fits right here in my back pocket. I never got far away. If I'm sitting there waiting on Denise at the store, I'm in the doctor's office sitting there waiting, I can just pull it out and read it. You know, you get 5 minutes somewhere, you can just pull it out and read it so that you never get far away from the Bible to where this becomes like your phone. You're never going to get far away from it. It's there with you all the time. And that is the idea that I'm trying to get across to you, is that the Bible needs to become like daily bread. It needs to be like your phone. It needs to be something that you never get far away from. You're not going to take your Bible home from church, set it on your dresser or set it on the counter, and then not think about it the rest of the week. That is going to hurt your communication skills. See, why does God want us to study the Bible? Is it so that we can prove to people how smart we are? Is it so that we can win spiritual arguments with people, so that we can feel religious, so that we can impress people? No, we study the Bible to fill our minds with truth. And as you study it, guess what? The Bible changes the way you think. Therefore, it changes the way you relate and the way that you communicate with people. When you speak, all right, and they say that that when you speak, that all of the average person, I know this may be hard for you to believe, but I read this and I've read it on several different, I cross-referenced to make sure I was trying to get accurate. The average person speaks 10 to 20,000 words a day. Now, some get more than that. But the average person gets 10 to 20,000 words a day out. Now, that's like a small book. So imagine in your lifetime, if they were to take all the words you've spoken and print them and put them in a book and bind them, it would fill a library. So where do those words come from? In your handout, it says there, get this statement. It says your words come from your heart and mind. Your words come from your heart and your mind. What you're thinking on, what you're dwelling on, tends to come out in your everyday relational conversations. The Bible says that as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. In other words, what you're thinking about comes out. Jesus taught the same thing. Look in your handout with me at Luke 6:45. It says, Jesus said, Luke 6, it's on the back of your handout. It says, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth that which is good. And an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth that which is evil. And then it says, for of the abundance of the what? Heart, his what? Mouth speaks. You see how I bolded that? Notice the connection between your heart and your mouth. So your heart, Jesus said, out of the abundance of your heart, what you're thinking on, what you're dwelling on, he says, out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth speaks. So now we're starting to see how important it is that we get the Bible inside of us and that we study it, that you're faithful to church, that you're in a life group, that you're maybe listening to messages online, that you're reading it and studying it every day, because out of your heart, your mouth speaks. So if you're never in the Bible, and the Bible's not really in your heart, then your words are not being filtered through the Bible. There's no Bible there for it to be filtered through. But if you're in the Word, you're filling your heart, you're filling your mind with the Bible, and then all of a sudden your words are being filtered through the Bible. It's I like to juice. I love to juice, like carrots and apples. Anybody in here like to juice? Okay. That was huge right there, all right? Three of you. 8:30 service was the same way. We got some healthy people in this church, amen? But, hey, I like to juice, and I got this juicer, all right? And the other day, I got three carrots, and you stick the carrots in the top, and then the juice from that comes out the side. And I stuck three carrots in my juicer, and you know what happened? I put three carrots in the top, and apple juice came out. Do y'all believe that? Your pastor just lied in church, didn't he? No, I put carrots in the top, and what came out the side? You got it. And when I put apples in the top, what comes out the side? Apple juice, right. Apples in, apples out. Carrots in, carrots out. And you know what my point is? Is that what you read, what you watch, what you think on matters, because what's in your heart is going to come out. It makes a difference, especially in how we relate to other people. Your heart and your mouth, your heart and your mouth are intricately related. Look in your handout at a couple verses there. Proverbs 15:28. It says, the heart of the righteous studies to answer, but the mouth of the wicked pours out evil things. So in other words, if a person's just thinking and dwelling on evil things, then it just spews out of their mouth evil. But if a person is filling their mind with the righteous word of God, he said they study to answer. They think about things before they talk. Look at the next verse, Proverbs 16:23. That's a great verse right there. Look at that one. It says, the heart of the wise teaches his what? Isn't that great? And adds learning to his lips. So your heart teaches your mouth. If you're putting the right things in your heart, you're studying the Bible, he says your heart teaches your mouth and it adds learning to your lips. Wow. That's awesome. That's what we need. So as we study the Bible and as we hide its truth in our hearts, look at verse 15 again. Study. Look at it again. Verse 15. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So as I'm studying the Bible, I'm hiding it in my heart. Our words that we speak in our everyday relationships, they begin to be distilled through the truth of God's word. The Bible becomes like a filter. My words are being filtered through my understanding of God's word. Listen, and I'm just going to say this. One of the greatest things that you could ever do to enhance your communication skills is to regularly study and meditate on God's word. Hide it in your heart. Paul in this text is like, man, you got people over there arguing, Timothy. They're fussing over silly things. They're speaking words that are empty. They're speaking words that are cancerous. They're speaking words that are hurting people. He's like, people need to get into the Word and they need to study it. Because Paul knew that that would help solve these communication issues. When you study the Bible, it provides you two very incredible communication skills. How many of you think that we need good communication skills in our lives? Say amen, huh? All right, there's two skills I want to give you. They're both from Ephesians 4. Write them in your handout. Number one, you speak the truth in love. That is a great communication skill. If you can learn to speak the truth in love. Hey, that ought to be every married couple's motto. Speak the truth in love. Speak the truth in love. Say that with me. Speak the truth in love. Look at the verse up here. It says in Ephesians 4:15, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. That should be every married couple's motto. We are going to speak the truth in love to each other. And by the way, it works really well in any other type of relationship too. It works really good with your kids. You know, speak the truth in love. Some of you are like, I don't have kids and I'm not married. Well, that principle works really good with your coworkers. You're like, I don't have any coworkers. Well, it works really good with your friends. Well, I don't have any friends. All right, speak the truth in love. That works really well with your pastor. Now, I know you have one of those, all right? It works good with your fellow church members. By the way, it works good with your parents, teenagers. You speak to your parents in love. You speak the truth to your parents in love. By the way, parents, let me talk to the parents for a minute. Just because you're a parent and you're bigger than your kid, that little 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 or 7 or 8-year-old, just because you're a parent and just because you're bigger and just because you carry more weight doesn't give you the right to speak to your children hatefully and not in love. Doesn't give you the right to do that. All right? Just because we're a parent, Ephesians 4:15 doesn't go out the window. Just because we're a parent, that doesn't make Ephesians 4:15 go away and not apply. When we talk to our kids, we need to speak the truth. We need to discipline them. We need to make them do right. Absolutely all those things. We need to correct them when they're wrong. But we need to remember to speak the truth in love. And of course, you know, you can take that phrase, speak the truth, and you can apply that to the idea of not lying, always being truthful in our words. But I think it goes beyond that. When Paul said, speak the truth, to me what he's saying there is he's saying, make sure that your words that you speak line up with God's word. For example, I can talk to my wife and say I talk to Denise very hatefully, very sarcastically. And you know what? The words, the actual words may not be lies. They may be the truth as far as that. I mean, they may be honest words. But if they're hateful and they're sarcastic, then do my words and my tone of voice and do my attitude line up with the truth of God's word? No, I'm not speaking the truth. And that's the idea. It's that idea of, you know, speaking the truth. God's truth, God's word. God's word tells me that's not how I'm supposed to talk to my wife. I'm not supposed to talk to her that way. I mean, I know guys that cuss at their wife when they get mad. Man, I'm sure there's women that cuss back at them, right? By the way, that shouldn't happen. A guy ought not cuss at his wife. Ever. Ever. Never cussed at my wife. Reminds me of the guy that was with his wife traveling. He got pulled over by a policeman. That ever happened to you? And this guy got pulled over by a policeman. And the policeman said, sir, do you realize you were going 15 miles over the speed limit? He said, no, sir, Mr. Policeman, I didn't know that. His wife's over in the passenger side. She says, he did too. I've been after him for 5 miles to slow down. He looked at her. If looks could kill, policeman said, "Sir, do you realize that your driver's license has been expired for a month?" He said, "No, sir, I didn't know that." "He did too. I've been telling him for a month to get that renewed." He looked at his wife, "If looks could kill." The policeman said, "I hate to tell you this." He says, "Your insurance has lapsed." He said, "It's been lapsed for a week." He said, "Sir, did you know that?" "No, sir, I didn't know that." "He knew it good and well. I've been after him all week to get that renewed." Well, that was all he could take. He looked over at his wife, and he started yelling and screaming at her and calling her every name in the book, and he started cussing at her. And I mean, "You know," and he was going to town. The policeman said, "Sir," he says, "do you always talk to your wife that way?" She hollered out, "Only when he's been drinking." That'll teach you to cuss at your wife, amen? Don't cuss at your wife. It'll just get you in more trouble, all right? Sometimes you got to break up a message like this with some humor, amen? I love a good joke. But yeah, you know, when the Bible says speak the truth, he's not just saying, well, be honest, but it's okay to be sarcastic, rude, hateful, just long as you tell the truth. No. Speak the truth means that you're speaking in a way where it's being distilled through the Bible so that your attitude, your tone of voice, everything is right. Everything lines up with the Bible. Your words are in accordance with Scripture. Let me give you an example real quick. Let's say you got two people that are saved that know the Lord and they're having marriage problems. Listen, that happens. Nobody should be afraid to admit that. You know, when you live with someone day in and day out, there's going to be some hard times sometimes. And say you got a couple and they're struggling in their marriage. It's not what it needs to be at all. And so one of the people in the marriage says to the other one, says, "Hey, I love you, but I think we should divorce. You know, because I owe it to myself to be happy." Hold on. Nothing about that statement lines up with Scripture. So there you know you've got someone that hadn't been in the Bible, they haven't been studying their Bible, they haven't been filling their mind with the Bible because they're thinking like the world thinks. That's something that the world system would say. Their words are not being filtered through the Bible. But let's take a couple that's married and they're having problems, and one of them says to the other one, "Hey, you know what? We need to be honest. We are struggling right now in our marriage. And we need to humble ourselves, and we need to seek help. We need to get some counsel. And you know what? We need to be committed to working this thing out." That lines up with Scripture. That's a person who's been in their Bible. They've been studying the Word of God, rightly dividing it, and they understand the Scripture, and their thoughts, their heart, their words are being filtered through the Bible because everything they said lines up with Scripture. Because the Bible teaches that we need to be honest. We need to admit when we have a problem. The Bible teaches that we need to humble ourselves, that God exalts the humble in the end. He resists the proud. The part about seeking counsel, the Bible teaches that wise people seek counsel. So everything that person said lines up with God's Word. So that's the advantage. See, that's what I'm trying to tell you, why it's so important that you get in your Bible. That your Bible is, hey, don't get far away from it. It needs to be daily bread. It needs to be daily bread. You need to get in it every day because the Bible will improve your communication skills because now you'll be able to speak the truth in love. Number two, the second principle is you speak words that build up others. And that's found, and I want you to change the reference there. That's my mistake. The office put what I gave them, but I gave them the wrong verse. That should be Ephesians 4:29. So would you just change the 8 to a 9 in your handout? That should be Ephesians 4:29. And then I've got it on the screen behind me, if you'll look up here. It says, "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth." Don't let corrupt things come out of your mouth, but that which is good. And then he says, notice, your word should be to the use of, what's that word? Edifying. You know the word edifice? An edifice is a big building, right? A building is an edifice. That's the idea of the word edify. When I'm edifying, when my words are edifying, it means that my words are constructive. They're building up people around me rather than being destructive. Every single day you speak 10 to 20,000 words, they're either constructive or destructive. When you study the Bible and the Bible begins to get in you, you begin to speak words of wisdom that edify, that minister grace to the hearers. How many of you have some type of a filter on your water faucet at home? How many of you drink water that's been filtered? Raise your hand. Okay. Most of us in Florida do that. Now think about this. We have one in our refrigerator, and I have to change the filter every so often. Think about this a minute. Okay, and I'm almost done. The water goes through the filter very naturally to create pure, clean, refreshing water. You don't even see it filtering the water, but it's working. In the same way, when you study the Bible, it gets into your heart, gets into your mind, and it provides a filter, literally a filter, for your words as you speak. And it's a very natural thing that happens, like your water filter at home. It's very natural. It's not that you stop before every sentence and go, okay, before I say this sentence, what does the Bible say? Can you imagine how long it would be to have a conversation with somebody if you stop before every sentence to see, okay, what did the Bible, let me go research before I say this sentence and see what the Bible says. No, it's not that. It's something that happens very naturally. In your handout, it says, as the Bible gets inside of you, you begin speaking words of truth, words and communication that line up with God's word. And the result is what? In your handout, it says the result is loving and edifying communication, which will enhance your relationships in life. So my takeaway for today is, if you've been getting away from the Bible and it's become more like cake for special occasions, you need to get back to making this daily bread, and that will have an extreme effect for good on your communication skills. All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer right now.